All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the In the Dome podcast. All right, how are we doing here? We win three in a row. It looks like we're maybe going to go on a four-game heater. But no, Markstrom can't score goals, too, so.
He had an assist against the Islanders, a primary one.
Does he have more points than half our team now? Or
he's got four assists this year.
How many assists does... Who's sucking this year? Four. Who else has four? Someone else has four.
There's no way anybody on like the current roster would have four. Okay, let's AJ Greer, who's hurt. Walker Duehr. He's got more points than Jordan Osterley, Shillington, obviously. The Rune Dog, Cole Schwint, and Brady. Okay, I still am having a mind fuck on Braden, whatever his name is how to pronounce his last name. It's spelled Patchell. I've heard them say it on the broadcast 20 times, and I still can't say it.
What is it, Paul Hill?
I can't do it.
What have you thought of him? I've kind of liked him. He's pretty scrappy.
Yeah, he's been fine. He
was throwing his weight around that first game.
I think you need guys like that. He gives you that kind of Dennis Gilbert bottom pairing. Physical, he's big boy.
Paw Hill, dude, isn't it?
They should have, you know what they should have? All this talk about like accessibility and stuff. The NHL should have a directory where you click on a player's name and it pronounces it for you. They should have that. Why don't they have
that? Some weird Siri voice, or how about like Gary Batman's voice?
Yes.
Blake, Errol, it's Paw Hill.
That'd be pretty good.
Dude, does he have an actual bobblehead?
Dude, what's wrong with his head?
Did you see him at the All-Star game? Like,
why does he literally look...
Did he spend like half his life in India or something? Like,
he looks like he came out of the Shire or something.
Why does his head bobble like that when he talks? He looks like an actual real life bobblehead.
It's like some old people kind of do that.
Like if has he had surgery on his neck and they just put springs in there or something?
Head bobbling disease. syndrome.
Disease. Here we go with this. Fun fact.
Yeah, apparently there is a BHDS, bobblehead doll syndrome. It's interesting movement disorder characterized by episodic forward and backward head nodding, but that's not what it is. It's not forward and backwards. It's side to side.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to just pop right off one of these days.
Probably will.
Careful. Don't get Gary too angry. His head.
What would make
right
Gary
off.
Really angry? Questioning him about concussions.
Questioning him about his penis size, most likely.
What else really makes Gary Bettman tick?
I don't know. He's got the small man syndrome, doesn't he? Just go with something like that.
Ultimate small man syndrome.
Ask him what was his previous occupation? Was it a jockey on a horse? That was funny. Did you see Ron McLean interviewing him at the All-Star game? Every question he asked, he was like so mad. Do you notice
this? He gets pissed off. So the thing is, I think Ron actually used to ask him. I didn't watch this because I didn't watch any All-Star thing. The only All-Star thing I saw was Kucherov not trying, which good for you because I feel the same way. Ron like used to ask him hard questions, and that's kind of where he used to get mad. But it feels like
Ron asking hard questions.
Yeah, this was back before Ron really like revealed himself as an annoying little spineless little weasel that no one likes. But
I know poetry.
Yeah, here's a poem by my favorite.
Here's another poet. Here's another poem you don't want to hear. Here it comes. God, that sucked.
I'm surprised he didn't have a poem for like the Morgan Riley incident.
Oh, did you see this tweet going around? It was like one of the top.
Well,
tweets.
It's true. This one is by. This is by Lord. If we ever needed Don Cherry back in the fold, like Ron has needed a beating with an elbow pad every single night since Don left. That's exactly what we need.
No wonder he wanted him fired so bad. He just was sick of the abuse. But
he needs
warranted.
The abuse. Keeps him in check.
I know. Exactly. Now no one's keeping him in check. There's no
Oilers lose. Oh, here's a poem by Lord Byron that really reflects how I'm feeling, Connor.
Did you see, what is wrong with Ron McLean? Is his brain okay?
It's a lot wrong.
Do you see this? The Oilers get shut out by David Rittich. We'll talk about that in a sec.
Oh, David Rittich.
But there's a clip of McDavid just being a little baby on the bench, breaking his stick in half.
Oh, having little pouty pants poop.
Oh, we're losing. See what happens when you go on a fucking 16 game here, and then you lose one game and you can't fucking handle it anymore. Fucking little baby.
Okay, there is a print. I'm sorry, I'm going all over the place, but I just want to mention
that
there is.
Ron McLean's all like fucking. Oh, look. You know, he put it down so nicely.
Yeah.
After. It's like, dude. Wow. You really just want to be his husband. Is that what this is all about?
It's really creepy.
It's not even a bromance. It's like, it's an old man crush
on
someone half their age. It's perverted.
It's very creepy.
It's very creepy. It's very disturbing. And Sportsnet forces down our throats.
Can I just say how pathetic Hockey Night in Canada is now? Is it even really called Hockey Night in Canada anymore?
I'm starting to see people starting to get sick of Bieksa now, too. Is that a thing? I think he's kind of just the only thing holding together, no?
He's the only one who has any analysis that's worth listening to, in my opinion. I don't know. I don't really watch anymore because it's so bad half the time. Like, who are these people they always have on there? It's pretty much
Friedman. Has he even played fucking minor hockey?
Listen, as long as you don't show my ball, they don't show his bald spot anymore. Somebody probably got fired over that one.
I think the social media was probably tearing him up, eh? They needed directions out of the cul-de-sac.
It's so bad, though. Like, it used to be. I can't. It's so sad for kids watching it now. It's so bad to watch.
I swear they talk about their socks more than the game half nights.
Oh, absolutely. Especially if the Flames win.
What socks is Ron wearing? Oh, Ron, your socks are matching mine tonight.
Oh, who's wearing sneakers with their suit?
What's with. And Elliot's like always trying to put Bieksa down? Like.
Oh, yeah. He's got this. He's got a very weird. Yeah. It's not. It's like a very weird, like, sense of humor. That's not a sense of humor. He thinks it's funny to be like derogatory towards the only guy there who anybody wants to hear from.
Yeah, exactly. No, we don't care what you think, Elliot. Just tell us the fucking
information.
Don't give us your take on hockey. It's no good. Okay, so
there is a pronunciation guide apparently on the NHL media site, and it's pronounced Pahal. That's hard for me to say.
That's what I've been saying, wasn't it? Pahal?
Pahal.
Pahal?
Pahal.
Pahal.
Blah blah. Bob's blah blah's blah blah. Pahal.
Pahal. All right. So somebody does tweet this. Let's be real. If Matthews took a slap shot, we're referring to the Ottawa slap shot into the open net, obviously. If Matthews took a slap shot into the open net, Sportsnet would run a documentary with Ron McLean narrating the history of the slap shot with a boring antidote slash poem that nobody cares about. While the rest of the panel pretended to listen when they were really just imagining what it would be like to be best friends with Austin Matthews. See, that's how I feel about Connor McDavid. It's even worse.
Oh, it's way worse with Connor.
If this guy, Mark Savvy, on Twitter feels that way, he recognizes that. He must be a Sens fan. Recognizes how big a circle jerk for Toronto and Matthews. It's even bigger for Connor. And every second commercial is Connor McDavid. Oh, God. I just cannot wait till they're pumped in the playoffs. Like, that's the only thing this season is.
All I look forward to. The only good thing. In my life, really.
In your life?
Yeah. Well, jeez, I'm not, dude. That's not really the only thing, but it's a big thing.
All right, we come back from the All-Star game. Everybody's stoked because Connie fucking nails a trade of the brick. How well is Connor doing?
Connor's approval rating has skyrocketed. It's gone from, at least for me, gone from like, to hell yeah, brother.
Yeah, you were texting me the other day. You're all in on Connie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he seems to be making all the right moves. But didn't he tell Hanifin he had to make a decision and we don't have one yet? So what's that all about?
Well, maybe the non-decision is the decision. Maybe he's told them he's not signing and they're trying to trade him.
Well, he must know.
He probably knows.
I guess maybe it's better if other teams don't know he wants to be traded, right?
Well,
but if you're shopping him around, it's pretty obvious.
I think the one thing with Hanifin is probably that a team acquiring him would maybe want to do a sign-in trade. So there's probably some legwork that would have to be done. So maybe
they're working on that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one could take, you would think a sign-in trade takes a little more work than just a straight-up trade.
And I mean, even if it's a not sign-in trade, it's probably a little harder to do. Well, maybe not, because I guess his salary cap hit is less than Tanev's. Or is it? Yeah, it's similar. I got to look that up. But it'd probably be a bigger deal to any Tanev trade, so I'm sure it would require some legwork.
Elliot's been reporting a whole bunch of stuff on the Flames. There's been trade talks with New Jersey about Markstrom. But what did I see there? So the thing with Markstrom, and you probably can go more chronologically than this, but Markstrom said to the club, you decide what you want to do, or how did it all shake out?
Well, I don't know if there's really been any. I don't think there's been anything confirmed that they've talked to Markstrom at all. I think the media was kind of asking Markstrom about, like, because obviously the first place this started with was Elliot is talking about, and the insiders are saying Markstrom doesn't like trade rumors, and the Flames are hesitant to go to him with anything regarding his movement clause unless there was like a legitimate top-notch deal in place. And that's like, that would have to happen first for them to even consider, like, not saying, hey, we're going to trade you, but saying, hey, like, is this something you'd be willing to think about or be open to? The media was talking to Markstrom the other day and somebody asked about the trade rumors and he pretty much just said, like, what's he going to say? He said it's management decision, balls in their court. And then Elliot comes out with a bit of information that, this was on Saturday, that the Flames and Devils had actually had like legitimate discussions about Markstrom.
Boy, do they need a goalie like Markstrom.
Holy cow, do they ever.
But if you're a team with average to subpar goaltending, you're looking at what Markstrom's putting together this season. Fuck, there's a lot of teams could use him. Like, guy's playing why is he so fucking good now?
What's going on? Thanks for, well, who knows what changed? Like, maybe he had a kid last year. Maybe, like, he's, well, who knows? But it sure would have been nice to have this last year.
Someone did make a tweet, and I know we touched on this in the past, but the tweet was, you know, Daryl overplayed him.
Well, yeah.
He did. He did. Every time Markstrom has stunk, yeah, or got injured, maybe outside of last season because he was just bad all season long, it was from being overplayed, load management.
Maybe happened in the first year he was here. It was like Ward kept playing. It was like, what the fuck is he playing again for? Then he got run over, remember, in that
game. He was making stupid.
And he played again. He was like playing after he clearly had a concussion, if I recall correctly. Kept playing him. It was like, this guy's, he was terrible. And then, yeah, last year, like, how many games did he play last year? It felt a lot because he let the first shot in every single fucking night.
Yeah, it felt like every game. And then Vladar started doing it too, didn't he?
He played 59 games last year.
That's still too many, no?
After playing, I think maybe this is where it kind of gets like, yeah, he was overplayed, is he played 63 the year prior and 12 playoff games. So 2 years of a lot of hockey for a goalie who we've heard, like, that's one of his main weaknesses, is when he is tired or gets overplayed, he falls back into old habits and kind of struggles. So he's played 33 this year. Boy, has he been unbelievable. He's been the best goalie in the league and hasn't even been close. Well, Hellebuck has been great, but Igor is great tonight. But frick, he's been good. So I don't know. Like, I think it's absolutely awesome that Craig is still, like, that he's even having these discussions. That's a huge confidence booster for me and our general manager, because he's not being swayed by, oh, well, we win 3 games in a row and the vibes are great, we better not think about the future again.
Do you feel like Craig has already made up his mind on what he's doing this season? Well, he should. I mean, we've been harping on this drum of just keep making good management decisions.
After he explained the Lindholm trade, I feel like he's always kind of had a plan of where he would go.
I think it was after the Islanders game, yeah.
Because he was talking about, yeah,
picture of Kuzi's goofy hair and said, now we go playoff. It's like almost 500 likes on that thing, which is a lot for our audience on the X app. But, dude, since the trade, like, I'm just curious. Does that waver Connie at all? I mean, after you beat the Islanders, you were 1 point. Actually, you know what? You could have. You would have been in a playoff spot had St. Louis lost, because you were already 1 point back going into the day. But St. Louis wins, so they keep it, and then they win again yesterday. So now it's a 3-point gap.
Yeah.
But for a split second there, you're almost like, shit, we're in a wild card spot. Yeah, sure, the other teams have games at hand, but to have that little moment where you're like, fuck, we're in a playoff spot currently. But, like, we just had this conversation. We keep having this conversation. This team just swings back and forth. 500 hockey is the median, but back and forth between strings of wins, strings of losses.
If you had to guess their record in the last 10, you can probably guess. It's 5-5.
It's amazing how that works, eh?
So
it's just a roller coaster ride, because what it does is it gives you, like, the small, all you need as a sports fan is the smallest inkling of hope. And then you get sucked right back in. I'll be honest. You know where we were at when we recorded the last two. Sell the fucking farm. Let's go. And I'm still on team sell, but you know, I post that and someone's like, I don't know what I said. Yeah, he's like, so someone asked, well, what team are you on? Team tank or team let's go to the playoffs? And I'm just like we've been saying, I'm only on team Craig, just keep making the right management decisions. You have all these expiring deals, dude. You're not trying to go for fuck all right now. But if you're, I don't know, what do you think? Like, if you're Craig, you nailed the Lindholm trade. But now all of a sudden, Kuzmenko comes in the lineup. He has instant, it looks like he has instant chemistry with Huberto, the saddest sack of meat we've seen don the Flames jersey in the past decade, who all of a sudden shows like that he might be able to play some hockey. The team fucking makes, dude, they were dominating Boston there. And I get it. I think Boston had a really off night. But top team in the league kicked their ass. Kuzmenko's rolling. Huberto's got signs of life. All of a sudden, you're sitting, you got marks, you got world-class goaltending. All of a sudden, you're sitting there like, oh, fuck, three games there, 1 point out of the playoffs. But you just sold off Lindholm. It was funny because, I don't know. If you listen to this and I say one of your tweets and I don't know your name, it's because I don't pay attention to the at handles. But somebody tweeted, coming back from the All-Star break, you have Kuzmenko and Pelletier back in the lineup. It's like, did we even get worse? You traded Lindholm.
Well,
you got Kuzmenko. Did you even get worse? You got better.
This is what we've been saying kind of all year with Lindholm. Is like, if you, the way he's been going, and the you remove him from your lineup, you're not really losing much, anyways.
No, plus the Hall's ridiculous. Lindholm started to hear it from Vancouver fans. I don't know if he's hearing it, but
well, he had two goals in his debut, but now they're like, they're a fickle bunch, Vancouver fans. I mean, they burned the whole goddamn city down that one time, so.
Well, maybe that's what you get when you've been slacking off for an entire season. You can't just like magically
switch.
Can't magically just play at an unbelievable pace. I think Lindholm will be fine.
He'll be fine. I don't know. I think this just, to me, the Lindholm trade emboldens Conroy to, like, I can enact my plan.
But then this team goes and wins 3-0.
We can still stay somewhat competitive.
If they would have beat the Rangers today, would he have, what?
To me, after I've seen Conroy, after I saw him make the Lindholm trade, and after hearing how his rationale and how he and his process behind the Lindholm trade, I don't think anything's changing how he's doing business. I think the one maybe like asterisk in that is trading Markstrom at the deadline. But I think Tanev's going to be traded. I think if
if he doesn't fucking injure himself.
Yeah, or they keep every fucking shift. It's like, oh, there's Tanev. Oh, he blocked that one with his face, didn't he, Rick? Yeah, he sure did.
Oh, yeah, just went head first in there.
Yeah. So,
playing like it's a Stanley Cup final.
It feels
Monday
like
Monday evening.
Yeah. Tuesday evening in freaking Minnesota. And there he is. It feels like the ship has passed on a Hanifin extension. Maybe I'm just totally off there, but it's kind of what it feels like. But I think Craig knows where he wants to go, what he. Craig. And he already knew this, I think. He explained it in the Lindholm trade. Said at the beginning of the year, he was like, I knew we were going to have to trade him at some point. It was just a matter of when and when the time was right. I feel like Craig knows the path he has to take and the path he's going to take, and it's just a matter of executing it now. So I don't think winning or losing or anything is going to sway him in either direction. I really don't at this point.
Well, that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
I think the one question mark is, can they leverage this season by Markstrom into something huge by the deadline? I think that's just kind of like the one remaining question.
Okay, before we get to that or any further, I got to do our weekly poll here. If Markstrom keeps playing like this, and of course, if if Kuzmenko is the guy that gets Huberto finally going and the power play is actually scoring some goals, does this team make the playoffs? Are we like,
no, I still don't think so.
Are you better than St. Louis?
Eh.
Cause that's the question.
The Blues have two games in hand right now and they're up 3 points.
Yeah, but we played some shit ass hockey, man. There's what, 30 games left? 29 games left. 29 games is a season in itself.
I still think you're probably not playing good enough. Because again, like even though the last, like they played really well against stretches against Boston, I think that Boston game was probably their best game, maybe of the season, definitely of the road trip. And the power play is actually coming through, but I like you're still kind of like it's mostly Markstrom. Like I think scoring chances were pretty even in the Boston game. I know New Jersey pushed like absolute crazy in the third period, and
well, Markstrom's been insane, dude.
He was unreal. Like, and even in the New York game, like the Islanders outplayed them. Like that's all Weegar has a hat trick, but that's all Markstrom. So I still kind of feel like it's still without Jacob Markstrom, you're probably picking top five. So I don't know how you can sustain winning like that. So I would say, yeah, I think the Blues and the Predators probably both better than you. Hey, wouldn't it be sweet to sneak into the playoffs and play Vancouver, though? That'd be sweet.
Vancouver? Why?
I don't know. That'd be a good storyline.
Oh, because you mean we'd be in last place? See, that's who you would play?
Yeah, we'd probably play Vancouver.
Yeah, they're 76. They're still in first place in the league, eh?
Dude, it's so insane. Like, Edmonton wins 16 in a row, and they're still, like, what, 15 points back of Vancouver? It's nuts.
Yeah, what was that one tweet? That was nuts.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, literally, like, when they were like, they are, I think they're more points behind Vancouver now after their 16-game winning streak as they were when the streak hadn't started yet or something insane. It's crazy.
Crazy. It is crazy. Oilers. Yeah, you know what, man? I think, well, look, we talked about this in the last podcast. Their strength of competition has been ass. And that's one thing that the Oilers have been managed to do in the last, you know, four seasons under McDavid, because they have McDavid. They don't lose to bad teams very often. So, I mean, the stretch of 16 games, we went through the list. Like, they played two good teams.
Yeah.
Two playoff teams. And one of them was slumping. So, I mean, you lose to Vegas, then they beat Anaheim. There you go. They lose to L.A., get shut out by David.
Why I should change?
I thought, hey, wait a minute. I thought the Oilers had ended David. If I recall correctly, the stick flip was the end of David Riddick's career. The Oilers they took credit for ending his career.
Of course they did. They take credit for everything.
Oh, yeah. We dismantled
the Flames. Yeah. One guy. Single-handedly.
Okay, is there a team in the West that needs goaltending? Because I'd love to see Jacob Markstrom go there and totally fuck the Oilers.
If I trust him against the Oilers, dude.
Yeah, good point.
Could you stop a beach ball now? You couldn't 2 years ago. Where was this goaltending against the Oilers? We could have beat the fucking people.
We totally deserve to beat them. That's the thing you forget about that series, that the Flames outplayed the Oilers in almost every game.
Fuck it.
God damn
it. Dude, I was at that game one, eh? Were you?
I was at game one and... No, I was at game two.
Game one was basically being a Flames fan in a nutshell. Was it not?
It was that 9-5 game, 9-6 game.
They come out, and I think it was the two first shots on goal get past Smith, and then where were we up, like 4-0? Like, it was insane. Yeah. You're sitting there, you're like, fuck, we're going to kill these losers. And then all of a sudden, Markstrom literally can't stop a beach ball. I think the Oilers tied it up.
I think it was like 4-4 or 5-4 at one point.
I couldn't fucking believe it. I was just like, you know what? Fuck you, Flames. You can't even let us enjoy a... You can't. You don't. Even, you never give us the opportunity to rub a win in, ever. There's so many Oilers fans in the Dome that game. And it was like the greatest thing of all time for like a period and a half. They're all sitting like, oh my God, we're getting shit canned. 5 minutes later, they're all like on their feet, like laughing because the game's tied. You're just like, oh my God, what the hell is happening? Chucky scores what, coming out of the penalty box?
He had a hat trick in that game.
To make sure that fucking...
Kane hears it. And then the next game, it's like the first two shots went in again on Smith. And it was like, holy shit, we could sweep these guys. For a split second, it was like, we could sweep them. Now here we are.
I will not be happy until McDavid is no longer an Oiler and they won shit.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This will forever be holding a piece of the happiness of my soul until that day comes.
It's just, yeah, I think about it at least once a day, just like... When is that contract over? God. Hey, you know what? Colorado's goaltending has actually not been very good this year.
Yeah, but Joe Sakic, he's not going to overpay for a goalie, is he?
Well, Joe, you can have him for retention free, have him for first and a prospect. That's the thing. That's the thing. Like, I don't see the upside in keeping Markstrom because... You're not going to make the play. Even if you do make the playoffs this year, to what end do you not trade Markstrom?
Well, dude, you've seen it before. Like Columbus swept fucking Tampa. Remember that?
And then
what if we play Oilers in the first round and it's one of those miraculous we fucking beat them?
I don't see it happening.
No, it's not going to, you know, but it could. The hockey's so weird like that.
I'll take whatever they could leverage Markstrom into over that possibility. Well, I would sell my soul to see the Flames like sweep the Oilers in a first round playoff series this year, actually. But
do you think there's any part of Connie that's wanting to hold on to Markstrom just in case? Or is he like hell bent? He knows the pathway, it's clear.
I think it's clear, but I think it is a little different with Markstrom because he's not a UFA. This isn't a guy who, and it's not necessarily a deal you need to make this year. Like this is something you could revisit in the summer or even next year.
Yeah, wait till next year when his trade value is less.
The only thing is like they need to get Wolf in here. Like I think that's what's maybe what is a factor in this. It's like you got to open up a spot for Wolf. You can't keep sitting around doing nothing. Winning every game he's ever going to play in the AHL. So I don't know if it's like a pressing Markstrom thing. I know Francis has insinuated that the Flames do want to keep some veteran guys around. They don't want to be like the Oilers in the past, or they are afraid of being like a Buffalo or whatever, bottoming me out and just like letting the young guys play and being terrible for a decade, which sure, whatever. As long as you're making good management decisions, a total scorched earth rebuild being off the table is fine with me. And in that case, like you could see like a Markstrom Wolf tandem being a really nice thing for the Flames for the next couple of years, right? It gives Wolf some support. But at the same time, like you just look at the opportunity cost of if a team like New Jersey is willing to give you what it sounds like you could get for Jacob Markstrom right now.
What does it sound like?
Well, it sounds like if you can get a first and a top prospect and a player for Jacob Markstrom, not even a first, if you just got a top prospect and a player who can play now, that fits your 3 to 5 year, where are we going to be in 2 to 3 years? Like, it just seems crazy to me. Like, you just look at how well the Toffoli trade has already worked out, you know, and how well the Lindholm, like, okay, imagine what you could get for Markstrom. And keeping in mind how god-awful he was last year and that we were all talking about in the offseason, like, is there any way, like, you could get – can you pay somebody to take him? How do we get – like, can we get rid of him? We can't even get rid of him. Oh, I guess we're just stuck with him. And considering that he's 34, like, if you could turn Jacob Markstrom, a player you signed in free agency, who's 34 and is probably not going to be on your team when you're good again in 2 to 3 years. Hopefully it's 2 to 3 years, maybe a little bit longer. If you can turn in him into, let's say, like Conroy said it outright in an interview the other day, I think on Barn Burner, he was like, I am looking for a 24 or younger centerman. If you could, what if New Jersey's like dying and we're like, we need a goalie. We'll give you Dawson Mercer. That's something you can't pass up. I just think,
dude,
to close the door on that would be a mistake.
If you're the Devils, why the fuck wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. They're, everything's in place for them, right?
Yeah, they just don't have a fucking goalie.
They just do not have a goalie. Like,
and Markstrom is playing like a fucking possessed demon. Or do demons get possessed? I guess they don't. They're the ones
they do the possessing, yeah.
Yes.
They are, right now, New Jersey's probably in tough for a playoff spot, but they're not as far out of it as you might think. They're 4 points back of Detroit and the Maple Leafs.
Well, even still, but I mean, you know, you're could you re-sign? Do they have cap space to re-sign?
Well, he'll be signed for the next 2 years at $6 million. So that's where Elliott said this fell apart.
Wait, 2 years after this season?
Yeah, he's still on the books for 2 years after this season.
No, I thought it was 1 year.
No, 2 years after this season.
We know hockey games move fast. But with the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
Interesting.
24, 25, 25, 26.
Do you think it's a bit of a dilemma for Craig? Like, is there an argument to be made that, yeah, well, how much does he make?
$6 million.
That's still pretty high, though.
Yeah. I don't think I think for Craig, you're weighing the benefit of keeping him versus.
You sure as shit don't want to keep Wolf in the A for another 2 years.
You can't do that. He's on the NHL. He should be on the NHL roster this year. Vladar, in my opinion, Vladar should have been gone long ago if Markstrom was going to be kept this year. But he's got to be on this team next year. Like, this is ridiculous.
And Vladar has how many years left?
I think he's still got 2 left. Like, well, Brad, remember Brad re-signed him last year for some reason.
Oh, yeah. I just had no foresight of drafting a goalie that, you know, it's breaking NHL records and timing his emergence.
I guess Vladar.
Let me lock up my 2 goalies. So
can't have enough goalies. Vladar has 1 more year left at 2.2 after this one.
But he's becoming. There's not much value currently on the market for him, right? Like, you're gonna have to give him away.
He's expensive. You'd have
to pay someone to take him.
You'd probably have to pay given his salary because you could pick up a goalie of his. Based on how he's played the last 2 years, you could pick up a goalie like him
for
free. Shoot for
the fucking moon.
Well, exactly. Because if you, that's what I'm saying.
Does that not force your hand?
Look at what's the benefit of keeping Markstrom. Okay, well,
maybe he gets you into the playoffs.
Maybe he gets you into the playoffs.
That's a big maybe, though.
Maybe you're better next year and you want to keep, maybe he's a veteran guy you want to keep around. You know, everybody likes him in the dressing room. Maybe he's a guy you want to keep and mentor Wolf versus you could possibly get a franchise altering package back for this guy. who's not going to be on your team in 2 years anyways. So just like kind of like the wishy-washy stuff of like culture and veteran presence and stuff like that. And maybe you can get into the playoffs. Does that outweigh?
Maybe he's ass again next season.
Exactly. That's my other thing is like, okay, what's the gear? He could be terrible. That's what I'm saying. Remember where you were at. And if you're a proponent of like, well, we can't trade Markstrom, remember where you were at in the summer or where you were even at after that Oilers series. It was like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. So on a percentage scale, are you 100% trade him?
Me personally, I would 100% be like, if the Flames can't figure out a way to turn Jacob Markstrom into a big return, I think it's a huge, the opportunity cost in that is huge. I think that's a huge mistake to not do that for me. So I'd be 100%. I feel like the team probably.
Well, it's like a timing thing, right?
What's that?
It's a timing thing.
Exactly. It's like
his trade value is. I mean,
it's never going to be like this. It's never going to be like this.
On the last podcast, we were comparing, you know, Hanifin to Lindholm and how there's bigger trade value if you can do a sign and trade. Markstrom was he named the All Star of the Week?
First Star of the Week, yeah.
He's the best player in the NHL right now. Felice, somebody. You know what's going to happen? If he gets traded, he's going to stink for a good team. He stinks for good teams. And then we're all going to be sitting there fucking. Talking about how great Craig is somewhere.
And even he doesn't fit your plan for the future, I don't think. And again, factoring Wolf into all this is the biggest thing to me. Like, he's got to be.
You have.
It's his time.
Is there a question mark around Wolf? Of course there is. He hasn't done it yet. And yes, he is small. But if you're looking at numbers, sheer numbers alone, they would suggest that he's going to be good in the NHL. Do you think that factors into anything? But like you said, you're going to lose Markstrom in 2 years, no matter which way you slice it. Where are you at with Wolf? Do you feel he's a guy that 100% he's part of this 3 to 5 year vision? Start giving him NHL reps now. Get him into that.
Yeah,
get him on that timeline. He needs to be on that timeline.
I would be. Yeah, that's where I'd be at.
You're going to. Build around him in a sense. I guess he's not really building around him because you got other pieces too, but he's a guy that you're willing to go all in with.
Well, you don't even have to go in all right now. I think your first step is to see he has to start playing in the NHL consistently. That's
so
the first step.
I mean, that's like 100%.
Because again, where do you,
deal
where Markstrom. Do you want to be in like, do you want to be sitting like, and that's why down the stretch, I think would be a great time to get him in. Because if you're next year, let's say you do trade Markstrom or you don't trade Markstrom and you trade him in the summer and you're starting the season off with Wolf and you're kind of like, oh, I don't know. Like, I think this is a perfect opportunity to get him into some reps. Like, I was kind of annoyed he didn't play today. I realized Markstrom's been unbelievable, but it would have been a good chance for Wolf to start and give Markstrom a bit of a break, but time to piss it. Like the guy's 20, well, he's 22. So I keep thinking he's 24 for some reason, but he's only played 5 games this year. Like I would like to see him start getting into more games.
Yeah. 5 games is nothing. Let him get on a bit of a groove. Has there been any more rumors other than Jersey for Markstrom?
It's really only been New Jersey. The only one that's been substantial.
Okay, well, when's the trade deadline again? Second week of March?
March 8th, I think. Yeah, I don't think
TikTok, it's TikTok, Craig.
Yeah, I think if the deal is there, and this is what Elliot said, is that there would have to be salary retention, and that's kind of where the deal fell apart, which I understand, like, but do to you? Me, that would make the Flames. Well, if you know he's got 2 more years after this, do you really want to be retaining like $3 million? Well, maybe. I don't think it's a huge sticking point for me personally, as it would be for the organization.
You got to be compensated for it, right?
Exactly. Like if you can make that, oh, well, we'll take We'll take a first round pick for that 2 years of retention. Thank you. So I think even the fact Craig is listening and having these conversations to me is a huge confidence booster on the direction of the team. Stop letting Don Maloney talk and just let Craig talk.
The Devils have 56 points. They're the first spot right outside the wild card.
Wouldn't it be sweet to trade Markstrom to Jersey and have them beat out the Leafs for a playoff spot? Watch Brad cry.
And the Leafs are not having as much success as they.
Hey, well, Brad, don't worry. Brad's gonna come through at the trade deadline. He's probably already got a fourth round pick burning a hole in his pocket. You can get Kevin Rooney. Rooney's been playing some good hockey. He's probably gonna grab the Rune Dog.
Yeah, get ready for some plug defensemen. Seventh and eighth defenseman coming.
Get ready, Leafs fans. All day you'll be hearing about how Toronto's in on like the big guys, the biggest targets, and then you're gonna end up with like Derek Forbert, Kevin Rooney, and Luke Shen or something.
Well, Brad's been linked to Tanev.
Oh, he's been linked to everything.
The Morgan Rielly suspension.
Okay, I have to say something weird about something weird's going on with the Tanev trade. I keep hearing this, like Cervelli's been saying this. All the insiders keep, like, I'm going to go to conspiracy theory on you right here. There's like a organized attempt by media, especially in the East, a lot of TSN guys, a lot of Sportsnet guys, to like seem to drive the price down on Chris Tanev. All I keep hearing is like, oh, well, it's a second round pick. It's a second round pick. Second round pick? Are you fucking kidding me? Have you seen Chris Tanev play? Chris Tanev, if you're a contender for the Stanley Cup, Elias Lindholm, Noah Hanifin, all these guys be damned. There's not a better player or a more desirable player or probably a more valuable player to add to your team if you're a legit contender for a Stanley Cup than Chris Tanev. They're like, easily. All these people are talking about is how he can't get much. It's a second, maybe he can get a second round pick. And Tanev, his value's not. What are you? His value's not very high. This guy's the best. This guy is the best playoff player on the market right now. They're trying to drive the price down for the Leafs to get so Brad can't doesn't have to give up. Brad doesn't have to give very up
Dude,
very
Brad's,
much.
Brad will never get Tanev.
They're doing Brad's bidding for him.
It's not gonna happen.
The good thing is Conroy has Brad's balls in a vice because the Leafs don't have a second round pick this year. Because it was traded away at some point last year. I think they got a Rielly or something. They have a first round pick this year. And you know that's burning a hole in Brad's pocket.
Oh, yeah, he's sitting there. He's saying believe in the group.
He's just like, oh, I want to trade it for a defenseman so fucking bad. Is Travis Hamonic still in the league? And his assistant GMs are like, oh, you can't trade your first for Travis Hamonic. Stop it. Put the phone down, Brad. So Conroy is probably just sitting there saying, you got a first. You don't have a second. You give me that first, you can have Chris Tanev, but it'll cost you that first.
It would appear that both Washington and Pittsburgh are going to be out. I don't know. Toronto's got 60 points. Detroit's got 60 points. They hold the two wild card spots.
Listen, if New Jersey if New Jersey had Markstrom level goaltending,
yeah, Hughes back.
Hughes is back. I don't think the other thing everyone forgets is that Dougie Hamilton has been hurt all year for them. Like that's kind of screwed them up this year. It would probably be, I don't know. It might be, like you said, Markstrom would probably go there and suck. It's hard for a goalie to change teams. But
why I should change?
Why I should change? Why I should change? David Riddick's been playing great.
There's Columbus bottom in the East, last place.
Yeah, it's so funny. Monahan's in Winnipeg, still for like cup. I don't know if they're a cup contender, but they've been really good. They're gonna make the playoffs. Lindholm's in Vancouver, probably a cup contender. Gio's in Toronto. They're probably going to make the playoffs. Sam Bennett's Florida. Cup contender. Chucky's in Florida, cup contender.
Leading the cup contender team.
Johnny's in Columbus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I did a lot of research. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it seemed like the best fit. Yeah.
Can you name, can you name one player on the Columbus Blue Jackets?
Yeah, do a little research and yeah. The town, not the team. Johnny, you know the Jackets fucking suck balls, right?
Yeah. No, I think we're good.
We got, what's his name, you know, that guy. And
my friend's cousin's brother's uncle plays for...
We had some other guy, and yeah. Didn't come here to lose games. Yeah.
Flush your career down the toilet.
They've won 16 games.
My lord. What an idiot.
Johnny has won 16 times this year. There's only 30 games left in the season.
That's dope. Flush your career down the toilet, eh?
Yeah. Hopefully Meredith's making money, eh?
At least it's not.
He did have. Do you see those pictures of him and his kid though at the game?
His little kid's pretty cute.
Little baby in the stands.
Yeah, should have been a Flames jersey. Makes me want to cry. Yeah. I rip on you, John, because I miss you.
You broke my heart, John. That's why we rip on you. Yeah. Exactly. All right, well, this trade stuff. Anything else you want to talk about, Tanev or Markstrom or Hanifin?
I don't think so. I'm just like really, that's the thing. Like, I'm in a good place mentally, which I haven't been in a long time with this team.
You got faith in Craig. That's what's happened.
Yeah. And
he's given you reason to believe in him.
You know, like, if they play well, it's good. If they don't, like, they're playing decently entertaining hockey. They've got some Kuzmenko's. They've got some players that I like watching. I like watching Zeri play. The kids are still playing well. Pospisil's
fun to watch every year.
Love this guy play. Hey, he signed an extension too. 2 years, $1 million per. Good for him.
Yeah.
See, that's what's crazy when you just like play the kids, eh? Like, instead of like, if Brad had just not signed his, always have bottom, and he's like a very solid player. Has really good impact 5-on-5. He's been a very nice player. Dirt cheap. You have him 2 more years for $1 million per. Perfect. Perfect middle six, bottom six guy. That's what you need. Not wasting your time spending picks and going out and spending money on all these weird guys. But they're playing some, they're playing some good hockey, and the manager seems to know what he's doing, and that's all you can really ask for. And the idea, the tantalizing possibility of trades, the possibility of all these trades, I think, is very tantalizing for a lot of people. It's like, I can't wait. I'm licking my chops over here.
Right? I mean, we got a little taste of it. Give me some more of that.
Exactly. Y'all got any more of those trades, Craig?
He's jonesing. Jonesing! Jonesy's jonesing.
Can't wait.
You did not watch any All-Star game at all?
I saw Kucherov being a dick.
I always say I'm not going to, then I PVR it and I just skim through and watch it every time. I lie to myself.
I used to watch it when Johnny was there, but we didn't even have anyone there, so
Canucks aren't gonna win shit, dude. Do you see what they did to Lindholm?
Yeah, that's not how you treat a new player. Are you kidding? He should have been their first pick. Fuckers.
Dude. You don't even pick them? You don't even pick them. You got your whole fucking team on your team, and you don't even pick them.
Quinn Hughes is just a little dork from the States. He's not.
Yeah, but that makes zero sense. None of that makes sense. No one was like, we should pick him.
He should be the first pick. He should have been their first pick.
They're not winning shit, dude. Because of that, that tells me. What type of fucking character those guys have?
A real captain.
Tell me, Jerome would have picked him first.
Jerome would have picked him. No questions asked.
I can't believe they didn't even pick him. Who'd they pick over him?
Oh, who knows?
It's not even like someone snatched him up before they could pick him. Like, they legit didn't pick him. Wasn't he second last round?
He was second last. Tate McRae had to pick him because she's from Calgary, apparently.
She felt bad. Oh, God. Did you see any of the... Did you see Justin Bieber?
I saw a picture of him in a ridiculous outfit.
Dude, that was not an outfit. That was like a polka dot fucking... You call it, I think, an outfit? I like how Elliot's like tweeted, sweet jacket.
Elliot likes to try and stay hip with the kid, all the kids who like Justin
Bieber. That thing is not sweet. I dare anybody to go wear that into the street. Dare you. Nothing was sweet about that. And did they not do any due diligence? Justin Bieber can't do an interview for if his life depended on it. Justin, what do you think about your team? Yeah. So stoked right now. Stoked. Justin, how about a little bit of insight? Yeah, stoked.
What is the appeal of, like, I don't know. I get it's
better. Well, because it's like, Matthews' buddy. That's why.
It's better that they have celebrities. And maybe I should harp on the guy. Hockey. I don't. That's way better than what they usually try to do, which is like invite celebrities who don't give a flying shit. And it's embarrassing. But I don't know what cultural relevance Justin Bieber has anymore.
No, maybe we shouldn't harp on him. Maybe he's like, probably he just was never allowed to be a kid. And so now he's just stuck as an adult.
Adolescence.
Doesn't know how to be an adult now because he never was a kid.
Oh, I get to be the Scotiabank skater. Goes out and skates on the ice.
That's what they should let him do.
So let him be the Scotiabank skater every night.
And did you see Michael Bublé? He was like high on mushrooms?
Yeah.
Did you see this?
I heard this, yeah.
Holy fuck, dude. Wow, NHL, you really fucking nailed it.
Nailed that one, eh?
Nailed it. Just got a guy promoting mushrooms.
Oh, it's supposed to be like this sponsorship thing for kids.
Yeah, fucking Bublé tripping on mushrooms on the podium. Fucking Justin Bieber wearing like Dr. Seuss outfit and can't even speak English when asked a question.
Great role models for the kids.
Tate was great. Representing Calgary.
She's from Calgary. The only people are from Alberta. That's why.
And the only Calgary representation of the All-Star game. I guess the Saturday Night Live guy was pretty good, though. Thank God. Thank God he could hold his own.
Yeah, Will Arnett's awesome. I remember he did a skit at the NHL All-Star game or at the award show once. And he was like making fun of Brendan Shanahan. Like, remember Shanahan used to do those videos? It was like,
yes.
On December 13th, the 28 on the Calgary Flames, Will Arnett did a spoof on that. It was great. And apparently it pissed Brendan Shanahan off because Shanahan can't take a joke.
Jeez. Friggin' guy, the Saturday guy from Saturday Night Live does a spoof on you. You can't even find it funny. Like, come on. Anyways, the big news is fucking
illusion, Michael. Tricks are something a whore does for money. Will Arnett should be involved in the league more.
Can you do the Gary Bettman impression of announcing?
We have a trade to announce.
Announcing the Olympics, world, the mini Olympics.
Dude, why can't they do anything? I guess this is better than nothing. We just can't have any more than four teams play.
What about the rest of the fucking All-Stars? Like, there's some really good Russian players. Leon Draisaitl is the second best player in the league. You're not going to see him.
It's so bad. They're so bad at everything they do. Everything they do is
so bad. Could they not break it down by percentage of players represented by countries in the league as a whole and then, you know, make a mishmash team?
Is it so hard to do a World Cup of hockey? Is that just that hard, eh? It's so impossible. Listen, this is fine that it replaces the All-Star game for a bit, but in the summer or when, I just don't understand why there can't be a World Cup of hockey.
era.
I don't get it. If you can,
dude, he tried. They presented the whole concept of Batman as bobblehead fell right off. So
era.
Like, my bobblehead popped right off.
It's already an absolute travesty. We've missed out on Sid in his prime playing with Connor at all. It's insane. As a Flames fan, I was always just absolutely furious. I never, like, because that's part of it too. Like, whether you're Canadian or not, and you're cheering for your country, like, I always liked watching other players. Like, we could have seen Gaudreau and Tkachuk play together for Team USA for all those years. It's just like, they're so bad at this. It's so bad.
Era.
I mean, I'm excited, but it should have been done 5 years ago, and it should be a World Cup. Four Nations. What is this? Shit. Like you're saying, Drysdale's just going to sit at home with his thumb up his ass?
Well, he'd probably be doing that anyways, but... probably doing it right now, eh? Everybody stop what you're doing and picture Leon Drysdale right now. He's got his thumb up his ass.
Oh, definitely. Probably smells it afterwards.
No lube.
Is that throwing the way?
Dry means love. That's what they used to say at FedEx, eh? When you get it, when you walk.
Dry means love.
I used to deliver FedEx back in the day. You show up and there's fucking like 27 massive boxes on your route that day. And you're just like, fuck my life. Because literally, like, they schedule your route so that you're always at maximum capacity. So even if you have, like, six big boxes, your day sucks. Like, 27 massive boxes. Like, your truck's totally full already. The guy with the cushiest route across the belt's like, drive means love. Oh, fuck. Just bend it over and take it. Dry. Thoughts on Kuzmenko? He was...
Dude, he's already my favorite guy on the team.
The hands down, the best character on the team.
I always like having, like, Russian guys because, like, the Flames really haven't had very many over the years. Like,
well, someone said that was the first Russian forward in 20 years or some shit.
Yeah, it's like Sergei Makarov back in the day was one of the first guys to come over here, and he won Rookie of the Year at, like, 28 years old or whatever. I was a huge Val Bure fan back in the day, and then he left to go to Florida Bay with his brother. But, like, it's, I don't know, it's, there's something cool about, like, having, you know, because we've never been, like, a big, just watching those Russian, like, Pavel Bure and Pavel Datsyuk and those guys, I always, like, it's, they're just kind of eccentric and weird, you know?
Yeah.
And fun.
Ovi. I swear God.
Yeah, I swear God.
The guy can't even swing a golf club, but he's so good at hockey. Of course, he gets a fucking hole-in-one. People have been golfing for 50 years of their life. It's probably his first round ever. Gets a hole in one.
I swear God.
Hole in one.
Like all those Russian guys who used to play for the Red Wings, Larionov and Fedorov. And I don't know. It's cool. It's cool. It's kind of like, it's better than, like, remember when we got Huberto and I was like, oh, I like having a French Canadian.
Oh, yeah.
So much for that. Fun. I don't really like that anymore.
Now you hate it.
I hate it now. But well, I do you, like the Russian
you,
guys.
Once you once loved, now you hate.
I don't want any more French Canadians. No Pierre Dubois ball up, please.
And the other one's injured again.
Oh, fuck. Did we talk about that hit? No, we haven't.
You talking about that hit? What are you doing, bro? Like, it's Jacob Trouba.
Gotta stay off to keep your head up.
Did the coach not fucking inform the young guys there's a fucking Scott Stevens 2.0 on their team? Like, there was a bit of a suicide pass, A, but B, dude, you're breaking out right where Jacob Trouba is holding the line. You need to know. You got to know.
You got to watch this hit again. Yeah, and it's his left shoulder, which he did.
That's the same shoulder
he
injured.
It's the same shoulder he had surgery on earlier in the year. So
He's fucked.
He's probably definitely in big time trouble. Like, Trouba coming at you and doing that is... something
dude,
else.
And that was he crushed him. I know there wasn't a lot of velocity off the impact, but dude, he crushed him. Like he fell like a sack of potatoes. It crumpled, and I think his head hit the boards too. That hit was a lot harder than it looked. If you really break it down, look at it. He's fucked.
Well, and it's true, but guy hits like a like a freaking ton of bricks,
he's
man.
He's the hardest hitter in the league.
Oh, it's not even close.
Not even close. So it sucks, dude.
Yeah, looking man, close. That's a keep your head up, dude. Got to be aware.
That's yeah, one of those. That's a tough play. That is a tough play. You just as a winger, if that's you, and you know your D-man's close, and it's fucking Jacob Trouba on the ice, like.
Gotta be aware.
You either let it go or you just try and tip it past him, and you gotta be ready that you're already, yeah, you gotta start.
Yeah, he folded him like a freaking lawn chair, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's probably done for a while. So that sucks. The vibes won't be as happy. You just got
pretty much as immaculate.
Pretty much you've got Kuzmenko left to kind of like keep the vibes in check.
Dude, how great was this? And again, you want to talk about comparing the two teams. Yeah, Quinn Hughes doesn't even pick your fucking new guy on the All-Star. It's the All-Star fucking team. I still don't understand this, dude. How do you not pick the new guy? Anyways, after game one, Backlund gives Kuzmenko the new guy, the game puck. And then, what does he say? Now we go playoffs?
Now we go playoff.
Now we go playoff. And everybody's just like,
then they win two more games after that. Yeah, it was awesome.
They're riding a Kuzmenko high. That's it. You want to talk about good vibes in the room. And then did you see the they gave it to Paul Hill, right? The next game?
I think it was the Rune Dog, maybe.
Was it the Rune Dog?
Because he scored his first goal.
Okay, so they gave it to the Rune Dog. I guess I don't know what he looks like. Either of them.
Well,
I'm like, well, that must be the new guy. Okay, so my bad. But anyways, did you see Coleman?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see Coleman's like, now we go playoff? Like, that's the new thing. Like, they're going to get T-shirts made, now we go playoff. That's something you rally behind, dude.
Totally.
This is like Vegas in the first season when you got a bunch of rejects.
Well, it's like the Lunch Bucket 2004 crew. It's like, fuck them. Fuck you guys.
Dude, there's like zero pressure on these guys. They're actually good. They're not great, but they're good. You got guys that can snipe.
They're okay, and they've got a world-class goalie. They keep them.
Fuck, did Coleman look real tonight? Jeez.
Yeah, hey, what was he doing last night? Holy smokes.
They needed Bob Hurley just to come and police the Super Bowl festivities last night.
Oh, totally.
Coleman would
like Johnny, like Blake.
Blake.
Coleman would have been sent home. Coleman would have been in his hotel room, like, writing an essay on why getting blasted the night before a game is bad.
Fuck, was he bad today?
I think that's one of my all-time favorite Flames moments is Monahan and Gaudreau apologizing. Monahan's is so good. I just want to apologize to everybody for letting him down.
It's amazing. We just got a bit better examples, and it starts tonight.
That's probably the origin of Starts Tonight, eh?
It starts right now. We're going to be better examples for our teammates, and I just want to apologize that we weren't. It didn't start last night. Apologize for that.
Shawny money.
Yeah.
But it was pretty sweet. The Kuzmenko scoring like that. Fuck, was that a nice goal against Boston?
That was so nasty. Was
so nice. Guy's got an absolute laser of a shot.
Well, and Huberto's got playing with jump. He's playing with jump.
He's moving his feet.
Wow.
He's got like 16 points in set. He didn't get a point tonight. 16 points. It doesn't sound as good because he was point per game until tonight. 16 and 17.
What do you mean we really, really needed a goal and he didn't get a point? Shocking.
I think what we're seeing here is that Jonathan Huberto might play better when there's less to no pressure.
Pressure pack games invisible.
Playoff race.
One invisible. Goal game.
Out
one
of the game. Playoff race. All of a sudden he's playing well. What the heck's going on?
About to get shut up. Where's Jonathan? You ain't seen nothing yet? No, we ain't seen you yet, period. Back then. He's been better. Do you think Kuzmenko, like, this is a decent line? No? Could it be? He's dishing the puck better. You got two goal scorers with you.
Well, he obviously had
instant chemistry with Kuzmenko.
He obviously plays like Lindholm.
Was Lindholm the wet blanket?
It kind of seems like maybe he was a drag. Like, and obviously, this is a cloud hanging over everybody's head. But they obviously had zero chemistry. Daryl knew it from the moment he stepped into the building. And then didn't play them together at all. And we were all kind of like, we want to see them together. And they had zero chemistry. Not an ounce of chemistry. It was insane. I don't know why. Well, chemistry is a weird thing.
You got a guy that's like, is Huberto even a playmaker? He's more like a distributor.
Yeah, he doesn't really make plays in the same way.
No, he doesn't make plays. It's like, even today in the Rangers game, all you need is one fucking goal. Just one. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, this is where Huberto, if he was to elevate his game ever in a tight match, would you text me? Has he ever elevated in a fucking, when you really need a goal? Is he ever the guy? It's not been once when you really needed that goal. Never once. But it's like, don't have to score, but then set somebody up all in front and let somebody else have that amazing opportunity. It just doesn't happen. And obviously, we haven't been spending much time on Huberto because he's been better. I'm not going to spend much time on him tonight, but still.
Let him off the hook.
It's still a sticking point.
Yeah.
You make 10.5 mil. You can be better and okay, and everybody's like, decent stretch of hockey. It's not terrible if you're making 5 mil. The expectations are just always going to be, I can't play too much pressure. Did you make 10.5 mil? Fuck off.
Well, and I mean, like, again, like, with the margin of error being what it is, Markstrom understood the redemption tour assignment this year, and he's been, like, if Huberto is a difference maker, he's been fine, but if he's a difference maker every single night, you're probably in a playoff spot. But hey, like, he's coming through for us as the tank commander. In 4 games together, that line has, at 5-on-5, 35 shot attempts for, 32 against, 11 shots for, 13 against, 19 scoring chances for, and only 8 against, and 7 high danger chances for, and 1 against. So they've been pretty damn good together at 5-on-5.
Yeah, they've looked good.
And I've actually liked, I don't know, we'll see what Igor looks like. Power play has been way better. We'll see what Igor looks like at center. He's kind of turning into he could turn into the next Lindholm, right? Where it's like a guy who, maybe he can make the move to center.
I didn't like his game today.
Well, he was invisible today. He was probably too busy. He probably bought some Legos before the game and was thinking about putting that together. Have you seen this? He likes Lego.
Yes. You know, he bought the Empire State Building this time. He just did the Alpha Tire. Eiffel Tower.
Is there a Lego? I'm sure there's a Lego store in New York.
Oh, kidding me?
Yeah, he was probably
Legit bought the Eiffel Tower, and that's all he was thinking about all game.
Can't wait to get home and put that Empire State Building together. It's gonna be fun. But hey, that's good. At least, like, yeah, they're the thing that's kind of weird, surprising me about Kuzmenko. Because I kind of heard this from a lot of Canucks, just in general, like, the discourse was, like, this is a guy who is not good defensively, you know, like, he's a liability out there, he's going to score some goals.
The whole Vancouver Canucks team, right?
But if you look at his numbers, like, he wasn't last year. He was a very sound defensive player last year, and he hasn't been that bad this year either. So I've kind of been surprised that, because I saw them put that line together. I was like, holy, because Huberto and Sharon Govich, the Lindholm, Sharon Govich, Huberto line has got absolutely murdered this year at 5-on-5, like, destroyed. And Sharon Govich and Huberto has been two of their worst players in terms of, like, scoring chances against, 4 and against at 5-on-5. It's getting murdered out there every night.
Yeah.
But they've been good in 4 games.
Yeah, let's see if they can keep it up. I'm gonna pull up the upcoming schedule. What's been your take on Shillington in a little bit? But we've seen him get a really nice scoring chance today. Fuck, Igor goes good today though, dude.
Yeah, he was Igor's.
Igor was better than
really
Markstrom,
good.
or was he?
No, Markstrom was insane today.
Yeah, Markstrom was insane. That was a great goaltending matchup.
There was like
That could have went 0-0 into overtime.
It's a great game.
And nobody would have complained.
It's
that
a
was
great
like just
game.
A goaltender's fucking duo right there.
I think the Rangers had like 14 high danger scoring chances at 5-on-5. Flames had 10. So yeah, Shesterkin was very good, but Markstrom, like those string of saves he made, like there was just that flurry that was just like he made that glove save. Oh, it was just insane, man. Yeah. He was good.
Should have been like 5-0 after the first period.
Yeah, oh, easily.
How'd you like Hanifin's fucking turnover in the empty hitter? Like, what the fuck, dude?
That's why you trade Hanifin, right?
Yes. Great fucking no.
That's why you don't sign him to a max term deal.
Exactly. Okay. It's gonna take me forever to figure out how to do this. I'm on the NHL app, folks.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Why? Why can't I just do it? Why can't I look at a friggin' schedule?
No, you'll never be able to. Sorry. I think Kuzmenko's a player, man. I like this guy.
Yeah, me too. Okay, I pulled it up. All right. Somehow you went 3-0, 3-1 on this fucking road trip. You know what? They deserved a point today, no? Markstrom deserved a point today.
Markstrom deserved a point. I mean, that's kind of they played pretty good. They hung in there. I thought the Kadri line is really good.
Yeah, they look good.
They're always really good.
What's with Mangiapane?
If Mangiapane and Hubert would score some goals, it would be good.
Okay, but what is wrong with Mangiapane?
I don't know. It's really weird. Like,
you're saying his underlyings are good still? Because when they went back to Mangiapane at the back, like Coleman, like, yeah, this should be a build. This should be a line that should be able to, you know, build, get some traction. Because who was with Backlund and Coleman earlier in the year when they were awesome?
Well, I think they had Huberto there for a little bit during his like post benching.
Oh God, remember that? It seems like it was ages ago.
Yeah, right? I know. I think they had Igor there a little bit. I think Pospisil started with them. They kind of just played with everybody. Coronado was there for a little bit. But yeah, the thing about Bond is like, if you had to guess who leads the team in individual in high danger scoring chances at 5-on-5, who would you guess?
Well, since you bring it up, Mangiapane,
it's him. He has the
I
most.
I would maybe say Coleman if I didn't know what you're getting
yeah,
at.
Yeah, like top three: Mangiapane 1 with 51, Backlund 2 with 45, Coleman 3 with 43. So
he just can't finish.
He can't finish, which he's kind of still doing what he's always done, which is, but he just has lost that scoring
touch
that he had in that season.
What's his shooting percentage like?
Oh, it's in the shitter, I'm sure.
So okay,
but
when he was like scoring, how many goals? Remember we were calling
yeah, 30,
up Brett Chesley
35
every
goals,
game?
Yeah, 35 goals that year.
But his shooting percentage was through the roof.
No, he was still getting his chances. I don't think it was anything like insanely out of the ordinary. I'll pull up his year-to-year shooting percentage.
So he just can't finish now.
Well,
since those plugs, man, his antennae are missing.
I think they sutured that thing to your brain.
You know, that's a perfectly rational explanation. That would explain it.
It's really the only variable in all this, isn't it?
Like, the helmet doesn't fit properly. His head probably hurts. He's probably skating around like, why did I get these things? My head hurts. That's a thing, isn't it?
You'd think so. I don't know.
Like, full stop. This is a thing, no? Haven't you heard this? People get plugs and they're like, fuck, man, I just got migraines all the time now.
Man, was it worth it, Manji? I mean, his hair looks really good.
Like, Manji, I've seen his hair once. Dude, you fucking, your job is wearing a helmet.
Looks really good. And I mean, it is, like, I guess he's got 10 goals, which, like, isn't, that's pretty much in line with kind of where he's usually at, other than that one.
Pretty much in line with Jonathan Huberto.
Maybe he's got two more than Hubie. Hubie's still stuck on eight.
Hubie dooby doo.
That's the thing.
He had a nice one.
Yeah, that snipe against Boston was sweet. But he's on pace for like what? Like 15, 16? He had 17 last year. His shooting percentage has been higher this year. His career shooting percentage is 14.5. In his first, in the 2018-2019 season, when he first came into the league, it was around 12. The next year, where he scored 17 goals in 68 games, it was 15.6. The next year, when he had a really good year, 18 and 56, his shooting percentage was 19.3. So, yeah, a little high. And then the next year, when he had 35 and 82, 18.9. Then it plummeted last year to 9.3. Nice. So, but
what's it this season?
11.9.
So still below career average.
It's just the thing that he's not finishing, but he's not impacting games like he used to. Do you know what I mean?
No, yeah, exactly. You know
what I mean? It's just like, where's Munch? Is he playing tonight?
He used to be that guy where like, oh, fuck, he just set up the entire goal.
Yeah, it's like he's a dog on a bone. It's just like, we haven't really seen that on a consistent basis.
Well, he's got less to prove. His hair's nice.
Yeah, he's got nice hair and a sweet contract.
Did he get married too, or is that Rass?
Who got married?
Didn't someone get married?
I think Markstrom recently got married. Markstrom's having a good year, eh? Holy.
Jeez.
Yeah, Markstrom got married in Banff.
Lucic just love Banff.
Yeah, they're showing highlights of that game from last year today, and I was like, oh yeah, the game where Lucic didn't do his fucking job and let Tanev and Uyghur and everyone on the whole team fight before he did jack shit.
Just sat there looking mad. Cassie Campbell was impressed though, wasn't she? Yeah.
Oh, look at his face, so mad and intimidated.
My God.
What a treat it is not to hear her ever.
Ever. Yeah, what happened to her? Is she on some American?
I think she's in ESPN or whatever, doing like, I don't know what she does.
Just, you know, not building the game.
As long as she's not in Calgary, I'm good.
Americans turn in for the first time and like, what the fuck
is this?
I'll tell you what I think.
Blah, 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 blah. They scored a goal.
American, do they always talk over the goals? What was that one game she's talking about, a concert or some shit?
Oh, yeah. Well, and Rick's like, oh, it's in. And then she kept talking.
I just want to finish my point here about a concert. I went to. Fuck.
Fuck.
And people are like, why do you hate her on her so hard? How could you not?
It's terrible. Hey, great hockey player, really bad broadcaster.
Yes. All right, Oliver Shillington.
Yeah, I don't know. He still looks like he's trying to find his. I mean, he adds speed.
Like, dude, that rush today.
Yeah,
I thought he was gonna bury that dude.
That's something the Flames. Could you imagine? That, like crazy.
Yeah.
So he's been okay.
Anybody else you want to touch on? Any trade talk that we didn't cover? Because I do want to talk about Morgan Rielly.
No, I don't think so. Like, I think it's pretty clear that if the Devils are going to pay you a ransom to trade Marsham, you do it.
So you got San Jose Sharks coming up at home. Like, is that a game you lose?
Probably.
Then Detroit, you probably lose that one for sure.
We're probably due for like a four. Oh, I just wanted to say Uyghur has been like, he leads the league in goals, which is crazy.
Yeah.
The defenseman.
He's got a great shot, dude.
And that's what I was expecting from him last year a lot more. Like those rushes end to end kind of.
Dude, were you expecting more from everybody last year?
Yeah, just
every single person. He's got a great shot.
He's got a sneaky kind of like.
Dude, if Hanifin could shoot like that, Hanifin
would be the best defenseman in the league if he could shoot like that.
He'd be like 80 points defenseman.
Yeah, easily.
The amount of chances he can generate, opportunities Where fuck, even if you just get hit, if you get
the, if
corners,
he hit the net, hit the net. How about
so
how about hit net, anywhere yeah. other than wide or the goalie's crest?
Yeah, they're still feeding him that point shot on the power play.
After all, he's still going for it.
I'll just give it to the guy with the least offensive ability. Makes a lot of sense.
Not the guy who's leading the fucking league in goals.
So Uyghur's not on the power play.
He's on power play two. He's not on power play one.
Wow. Yeah. That's so Flames, eh? Yeah. You know what? Like,
you know what?
You know,
that guy has more goals than Dahlin and Makar. Did Noah out there.
Yeah. We need Noah. The guy that can't hit the fucking net. That's what we really need. Great point. Like, why the fuck is he not on PP1?
It's insane.
Wow. Dude, I don't even want to talk about it. That's insane it is. I'm so sick of this fucking power play. All right. It has been better, but put the guy that leads the league in goals on the power play.
This isn't hard.
Fucking moron. Plural. All right, coming up, San Jose Sharks. I don't know, man. They're pretty bad. We're playing pretty decent. I'm going to say you beat the Sharks. Then you lose the next three. Detroit, Winnipeg, Boston. Oh, then you play Edmonton, so you lose the next four.
Ugh.
Then you play LA Kings. You're going to lose that one for sure. We see a lot of losses in our future here, bro. Let's just stick to February. Don't go any further than that. Which
well,
is good because you
that's
have
the thing
playoff
too, right? Like,
deadline.
That's what you always look at is like their underlying numbers. And I mean, like, it's not like they've been playing terrible and getting like they've been staying in games, but it's pretty much Markstrom. And like, Markstrom's the like, if he's not playing outstanding hockey, you're losing a lot of these games, probably. Not probably,
100%.
You are 100%.
That's why a lot of people are saying he's the only thing preventing this team from picking the top five.
Well, I mean, hey, if that was like, that's the other factor too, is like, if that just happens to be a side effect of like, imagine you trade Tanev and Hanifin and get nice packages back for those guys. And let's say New Jersey offers you a package, like, let's say you could at least get like Holtz from New Jersey and a pick. And then you fall into the top five. Like, can you imagine sitting at the draft and you've got like three first round picks?
Dude, in 3 years, well, you'd be exciting already. You're already exciting.
And one of them's in the top five or even the top 10, eight. Like, man, oh man.
Tiija Ginla.
Come on. Like, that excites me a lot more than like, hey, we're going to keep, and I love Markstrom. I like Markstrom, but that excites me a lot more than like, yeah, let's keep Markstrom around.
Right? Fuck. All right. I don't know. I'm pretty hopeful that we'll be, like you said, if you really break it down, we're playing 500 hockey. Yeah, we're playing good hockey, but we're still playing 500 hockey.
All year they've kind of been doing this. It's like win three, lose three, win three, lose three.
Yeah. All right. The Battle of Ontario has been spicy. And I don't know this guy's name, but he takes a slap shot into the
finally. It's been spicy. It hasn't been spicy since like Darcy Tucker and Daniel Alfredson day.
Right?
About time.
Well, I thought, what was his name? Reeves? Reeves.
Oh, yeah, Revo.
Bash him head against the wall, eh?
Yeah.
He's always got shit to say after the game, have you noticed?
Always, always. He plays like 2 minutes, and then he's like, yeah.
It's like a Vander Kane, eh? Just refuses to wear a t-shirt for fucking any interview, ever. But anyways, I love the slap shot, dude. Love it.
Are you?
It's the royal fuck you
yeah.
to the other team. And did he get dessert? Did he deserve to get cross checked in the face? Of course,
dude.
So that's why I love it.
Putting this brilliantly. This is exactly what I was gonna say. I love both.
Yes, give me more of both.
I don't understand why people are fucking whining about this. Like, this is hockey. It's awesome.
Well, it's Leafs Nation, which I think it just gets exasperated because the numbers are so high. that even though it could be just 5% of the fan base, it feels like it's like 100% of ours. And that's probably numbers wise accurate, but yes, people are whining about it big time.
I find the whining from both sides fascinating because I find the like soy boy Twitter whiner. Oh, you can't do Morgan Riley. Like you can't cross. That's blatant. He should be charged. Criminal. Oh, that's so violent. Meh. Why can't the guy take a slap shot and showboat a little bit? Bleh, I find that whining funny. I find the fact that Sportsnet suddenly cross checking a guy in the face is fine by Sportsnet because yes. It's a Leafs thing, eh?
Right.
If that had been Brady Tkachuk cross checking Matthew Nyes or Austin Matthews in the face, there would be a full blown rod. There would be a Rogers, Sportsnet, and Government of Canada coalition. Yeah. Criminal investigation into this.
They'd be on strike, dude. They'd be like, we're not broadcasting anymore until
the violence stops.
Until justice has been brought down.
Yeah, but now all of a sudden it's like, well, it's not that bad. It wasn't that bad. He got him in the mouth. It's not that bad. Big deal.
What do you think the suspension is?
I don't know. Like, everyone's like, oh, Dale Hunter. Like, remember when Dale Hunter plowed Pierre Turgeon back in, I don't know if it was in the 80s or something?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, if you
I remember Bertuzzi slamming someone's face into the ice.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be Bertuzzi. Pierre Turgeon scores a goal for the Islanders. This is must have been the 80s. Maybe it was the early 90s. I don't remember. Well, I don't know, but I've seen a clip of it. Pierre Turgeon scores a goal, and Dale Hunter absolutely flattens this guy. Like, just pounds his head in. He got like 20 games or something.
Whoa.
That was back then. I can't imagine he's getting 20 games. It'll probably be like 5 games.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know. There's part of me watches it. I'm like, well, it's kind of like tit for tat. No, obviously it's not, but I like it. I like both. But yes, it should be suspension worthy. You can't just go cross check someone in the face. I guess he'll get four.
You can, but you'll get suspended.
I guess he'll get 4 games. 5 games.
4 or 5.
You're probably right.
If
well, what do I think he should get? Let's say 2.
Couple games, yeah.
Just because the guy knows there's going to be retribution for taking the slap shot. I know that doesn't factor into the length of suspension, but an argument could be made that like the guy was asking for it. No. You can't say that.
Why not? That's what I'd say. If I'm Riley, I'm going, this fucker's asking for it. What do you want me to do?
Right? What am I supposed to do? The refs can't call a penalty. There's no penalty for it. And I know this has been a big conversation with all the panels of like, do you like the cross check? And most guys are like, yeah, I do. I like the cross check. Why do you like the cross check? Because there's a self-policing thing, right?
Take things in your own hands. Put it this way. If Matthew Tkachuk came down and fired and slapped, I have to use Tkachuk because nobody on the current team would do this. Maybe Pospisil. Absolutely blasted a puck into the Oilers' empty net. I'd be so delighted. And if Zach Cassian cross-checked him in the face, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, but you'd be like, of course he deserves it.
Yeah. And if the opposite were true, if Draisaitl comes down and slaps a puck into our empty net, I would be like, kill him. Why isn't anybody cross-checking this?
Why
guy
is his neck not broken?
Exactly. Go kill him. And I'd be happy. Broke his face with a stick.
I guess the other thing is like the cross check. Is it malicious? Yeah. But like, he's going to live. Like, it's not like,
he's fine.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like he didn't break his, it wasn't like an egregious cross check. It was just a nasty cross check to the face that does not ever feel good, but it's not like
I don't think he'll be doing that again.
It's not like he's severely, no, he's not going to do that again. Or fucking, he's got a big set of balls on him. Well, if it's Matthew Tkachuk, he might. Matthew Tkachuk's taking notes right now. Eh? He's like,
Why didn't I think of that before?
Exactly. He's like, just can't wait to get on the ice for empty net goals now. Anyways, we don't have to talk about the Leafs any more than that, but
I love it. I love how pissed everyone is about it. But I don't get it. I don't get why everyone's so mad. Like, that's hockey.
Hopefully it's an 8-game suspension. You got
I'd love to see him be suspended 10 games at the Leafs miss the playoffs.
And then Brad just overpays for Chris Tanev right fucking now. Totally.
Yep.
Give me more reasons for Brad to make a panicked decision, please.
Everything to stress Brad out. I can just see him sitting in his office right now, sweating his balls off.
Just dipping his ball in garlic. What was it, garlic dip?
Ranch dip. He's just cooling his nuts in a nice, cool, one of those things, those little things.
That like, this is in. Why they, this is why they call it Cool Ranch. Keep my testes cool. What did I send you? Something from Dangle the other day. And then he, again, last night, he just fucking keeps calling out Brad. Hilarious, dude.
Yeah. It's crazy that these people don't know what we've put up with the past 10 years.
I'm surprised we've been able to do it.
Well, we haven't. We're freaking crazy.
It's true. All right. Well, we'll see what happens to the Leafs. We'll see what happens to the Flames. Yeah, I don't know. You got the Oilers coming up again. Fuck. Just dreading that day again.
Yeah, no thanks.
What's happening that day? I want to start making plans for it right now. I don't want to watch that.
What day is it? Please tell me it's not a Saturday.
Of course, it's Saturday, dude.
No, it's it's in Edmonton, too. No, I can't. I can't do it. That stupid buzzer there, goal sign, gives me brain cancer. I'm going to make plans for that night.
Yeah. For you.
Be in bed by 9.
Games at 8.
Yeah, I'll be in bed right away.
Well, you don't want to hear Ron McLean. Why do I have to have? Why can't they put Ron McLean on? Where does he live? Doesn't he live in the East Coast?
He must live in the Toronto.
Or not East Coast, but doesn't he live in the East? Why is he on our broadcast? Why do we get him late night? Why do we get late night Ron McLean? Why? I guess enough Leafs fans partitioned and.
What happened to George? What's his name?
Strombolopoulos?
Yeah. What was wrong with him?
He probably worked one season with these jackasses.
And was like, I'm out of here.
It's like, I don't even like hockey. Should probably watch the soccer. All right, man.
Rather him than poem Lord Byron over here. Day by day, he gazed upon her. Day by day.
Day by day, I like stroking my meat to Connor McDavid's neck beard. Day by day and night by night.
Puts it ahead to Huberto. Gains the line with a pass over. Here's Kuzmenko. George Kuzmenko first is a flame. It comes on the power play. And it's 1-0 Calgary. Shot stop. They score. Kuzmenko on the rebound gets his second goal in as many games as a Calgary Flame. It makes it a 2-goal. They're all with a shot. Scores. Weegar able to beat Varlamov far side. Here's a chance. They score. Blasted in by Mackenzie Weegar, and he gets his second of the game. Now leads the league in goals for defenseman. Weegar for the hat trick, scores! First career hat trick for Mackenzie Weegar. And that'll ice it. Savannah Jack, put it in front. Another score! Larson with a glove save on Weegar from point blank range.
Thanks, boys. Good winning. Good win. Thanks. Don't play off.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow-up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.